So I thought, well, let's speak to Israeli journalist and Middle East expert Idan Ronen. Hello, Idan. How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. Thank you. Have you seen Men in Black?
Well, I can certainly remember that shot.
Yes, exactly. So that's like the Donald Trump shot. We just never know what the outcome's going to be. Yes. We never know where it's going to go. So what is the relationship between the two of them? How long have they known each other?
On surface, they demonstrate as if they are, well, the way we used to name that, BBF, or like, BFF, best friends forever.
Yes.
underneath surface, you know, I'm not necessarily with gossiping. However, we can speculate to different directions regarding their relationship. We can certainly tell for sure they're both egomaniacs, the two of them. And whenever you have a collision with a pair of egomaniacs, you can rest assured that someday, sooner or later, the ricochets will fly off. I mean, we can certainly remember that Donald Trump was extremely disappointed of Netanyahu, who congratulated Biden for his inauguration. Trump believed deeply that the election, the U.S. election, I mean, the ones past the last one, were rigged by Biden. Netanyahu, on the other hand, did what he had to do, I think, by congratulating Biden's inauguration. And Trump replied, that is the ultimate betrayal. So Trump, because he is such an egomaniac person, I'm not necessarily sure that he is forgiving that easily. However, he understands that Benjamin Netanyahu, he is the Israeli prime minister, and they have to work together. We can certainly see on surface how they were cooperating very warmly with each other.
Yes.
When Netanyahu was recently invited to the White House. I mean, I'll be very honest with you. I think that their relationship isn't necessarily the best one. They sure express it this way outside. I think also that because Trump, he has weakness to pussycats, to weak people, to weak leaders. I think because you see, Trump basically pretty much told Israel, you have all the go-ahead that you need to wipe Hamas out of the earth. And to this day, Hamas still exists. So it may signal us, and it may indicate that Trump considers Netanyahu as weak. And Trump doesn't like weak people at all. Just to give you a clue, he is a good friend with Erdogan, Turkey's president, who is the Muslim Brotherhood, no less. So I'll be very honest with you. Their relationship, it looks to me very... very awkward, I will tell you this way.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
Okay, I appreciate you telling me what you think and for your honest opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, if I think about Donald Trump, I mean, if I was the president of the United States, firstly, God help the people of the United States, but aside from that, you know, I think about my personal relationships would never, ever come before serving the people and fulfilling my mandate. And Donald Trump's mandate is to make America great again. Israel.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that.
Israel is very, very expensive. You know, does it actually balance out? Is it good value? Is the United States getting good value for having this ally in a very bad neighborhood? Well, put the Abraham Accords in place, you bring peace, and then you don't maybe need to spend so much on Israel's alliance. I mean, I'm speculating, obviously, but I do think that personal relationships are never going to come close to what him fulfilling his mandate to the people of the United States.
Right. So it's a good question that you put forward here. And I have a pretty, how should I put it, out of the box sort of answer.
Yes.
I belong to those who believe who Israel, I think it's about time to, you know, to develop its own independence out of the United States and stop being its recipient for, you know, all the cash, all the annual $3 billion a year that Uncle Sam pretty much gives Israel. Well, by the way, it's not really for Israel. It's some sort of a deal. It's acquiring U.S.-made weapons to serve U.S. interests. It is only packaged and branded the American aid, but it isn't much that this way. My position in this regard is that, just like a teenager, for how long can he still rest in his parents' nest until he will eventually, span his wings and just go out for his own independent way in his life? And Israel is a rich country, well, relatively speaking. I'm in favor of disengaging of Americans' dependency. Well, obviously, that is a process which must be implemented very wisely, not a bang just like that overnight, maybe a very gradual process, but that should be more or less the direction. Now, having said that, when you look at the geopolitical and the geostrategical situation in the Middle East, I'm not necessarily sure it is true to say Israel costs America so-and-so amount of dollars, because Israel is the West, and the West is Israel. Israel is the forefront of the West. I mean, there's no argument about that. There are no speculations about that. The enemy basically states that in his own words, where Israel is the little Satan and America is the big Satan. Besides, we all know from history that whoever picks on the Jews never really finishes with the Jews, but he goes on after anybody else.
Right. First they come for the Saturday people, then they come for the Sunday people. We know this.
So Israel is America's fortification in the front line. And this fortification costs just like America's own maintenance cost. And that is my perspective, that Israel must not be considered as if it is a faraway outpost that who needs it. Because if Israel is weakened, so is the West, so is Europe, and later on, so is America. And I'm sorry to tell you, but the oceans are not wide enough to back off Muslim radicals, just to give you the example of 9/11 and all other terror attacks which took place in America.
Sure.
And they're greatly emboldened whenever they see the Jews fall down or collapse or getting weakened this way or another. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and you're sticking to it. And Idan, thank you very much for sharing it with me.